Joining me today at the roundtable is Allison Hatcher Kendall. She's a visual artist living in Kokomo, Indiana, teaching as well, and you can see more of her artwork on Facebook in the group The Hatchery. Now, Allison, I've seen your work on Facebook, and I have to say, I just love it. I think it's fantastic. And since you're teaching and you're clearly living the life of the artist, I just have to ask, when did you first know that art was your destiny?
I was very fortunate. I grew up in a blended family. Both of my parents were divorced and remarried. And my stepsister, who was just a couple years older than me, Christina, was and still is a phenomenal artist. And drawing was definitely her medium. And I would sit there from like the age of 5 or 6 and just stare and watch her draw for hours. Wow. I mean, a hyper little tiny kid who liked to climb trees and break things would sit there and be calmed down just by watching somebody draw for hours.
Wow.
And I was completely mesmerized. I thought it was magic. And then I just remembered, you know, after that, just drawing all the time.
And then, you know, I know you're living in Kokomo now. Have you always lived in Kokomo?
No, I was actually born in Van Wert, Ohio, but I moved when I was very young, but I was raised in Fort Wayne.
Okay.
And then I went to art school at Indiana University in Bloomington.
Cool.
I was actually a double major. I was an art and an East Asian language and culture major.
Wow. That's a lot. So, that's a lot to take on. Yeah.
It was. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny how things turn full circle, because now I teach on an international baccalaureate school.
Oh, that's
so
very cool.
Teacher.
Yeah, that's very cool. So this journey you've been on with art has taken you not maybe so far afield geographically in the world, but you've certainly expanded what you're doing with it and gone into various kinds of genres, not genres, mediums. I get my arts mixed up. Mediums and what you're doing with your arts, because I know that you are an artist in your own right, but then also teaching, especially with that international connection, that's got to be very challenging. I like to ask people who come on the podcast. I think of life as an artist as being kind of like riding a roller coaster. So I always like to ask people if they want to share a little bit about kind of the roller coaster ride that might be part of their arts journey.
You know, it was definitely interesting. I was very blessed that when I decided to do teaching, I did a program called Community of Teachers. And part of the program was I had to teach, like co-teach with the teacher for years before I actually got my degree. So I had to find a mentor teacher, and I was very picky about who I chose. They say that those that can't teach.
Right.
And I'm a strong believer that that's not true.
Yeah.
Especially
good. I like to hear that. Good. Yeah.
I was very blessed to get paired up with Patricia Roden Bartels, who is a very well-known landscape artist in Brown County. Mm-hmm. And that's where I taught, was Brown County Junior High. She used to work a lot with Frederick Wrigley before he passed, and he was a very well-known landscape artist. So I definitely got a good background on landscape painting while I was down there.
Yeah, that's what I would consider that to be a high, you know, high part of the roller coaster. First of all, what popped into my mind while you were talking about that is that, number one, the actual landscape in southern Indiana is so different than in northern Indiana. Mm-hmm. And working with someone like that and being mentored by an artist of that caliber, these are things that had to make an impression in your own artwork, especially, I think, the physical landscape that you would see every day in Brown County compared to, you know, the northern Indiana landscape, which is flat for the most part, you know. So, how do you feel like those experiences with her, and then also with the different landscapes that you've lived in, have impacted your work? Because I was thinking about some of the visuals I've seen of your work while you were telling me about that.
Well, I would say the one thing that that Patty's work really hit me hard in a way that's always stuck with me was color.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see her work, I mean, she's heavily inspired by impressionistic mm-hmm. painters,
yeah.
like a lot of landscape painters are.
Mm-hmm.
But her use of broken color and the way she uses and manipulates color is just absolutely exquisite.
Yeah.
Just breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that that is something that has definitely stayed with me.
Mm-hmm.
I know that doing landscapes up here, honestly, since I moved up north, I haven't really done a lot of landscapes.
Okay, so that's an impact. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
I'm actually currently working on a landscape, but ironically, it's a desertscape. I find that really funny because I've never been to a desert. It's actually a painting based off of a dream. Actually, a lot of my work is dream and meditation based, as well as art therapy mm-hmm. based. I had a dream about, and it, I woke up and it really kind of landed with me. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I need to paint this.
Yeah.
And I wanted to show the kids how to set up a landscape anyways. It was like, okay,
yeah.
Let's do this. It was interesting because in Brown County, they're very classically trained.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a
yeah.
good background to have.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to like more modern art and mixed media, I was absolutely clueless. I mean, right. It was just like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved up to Kokomo, I went through a long, dry period because I had just got hired as an art teacher. Trying to get your sea legs on that is just, oh, yeah.
Teaching art is a lot harder than just being an artist, because if you're just being an artist, you're just creating, you're creating, you're creating. But if you're teaching, you have to plan and organize it. Not that you don't as an artist, but it's a complete, you're planning and organizing for however many students you have. And the age of the students matters. And the materials that you have to work with matter. And all that stuff. So getting your first job as an art teacher would be overwhelming just for the teacher part of it, let alone adding art into it. Because
it
as an art teacher, you want to be inspiring those kids. And yeah.
Exactly. And especially since my first job, I was teaching kindergarten through eighth grade.
Wow, so, what a range.
Well, I've taught them all. I've literally taught K through adult.
Wow.
I mean, now I'm at the high school, so I have freshmen through seniors. They all have different wonderful things about them, and then there's challenging things mm-hmm. about them. You know, my high schoolers are bigger than me, and my elementary kids, when I had them, I was always getting hugs, and you knew that there was no weirdness about the hugs. There was no strings attached. A mm-hmm. hug was a hug, and
yeah.
they weren't trying to pull something.
Oh, those
on
were the days, right? Yeah.
Exactly. But at the same time, it made me get really good at interpreting people's artwork.
Okay.
You know, because kindergartners would cry if they would draw like their puppy, and you didn't know it was their puppy.
Oh wow.
And yes,
so, I did not know kindergartners would do that. You know.
Good, you know,
it's like, that's really cool. What is that? My puppy. Oh, no. You know?
Exactly. And, you know, so I was teaching, and I just had my children, my oldest.
Mm-hmm.
And up until that point, I had been painting in oil paints. Well, oil paints is pretty toxic and messy. And, you know, when you're a mom of a newborn, you don't have a lot of time to change clothes. And, you know,
yeah.
you don't want the toddlers getting in your stuff. And,
no.
And you kind of fit in art whenever you have a moment,
mm-hmm.
like a nap
yeah.
or an hour before you go to bed
right.
or something like that. And so I started working with oil pastels. And I really enjoyed that, did some portraits with that. But I didn't really do a lot of shows. I mean, I did a couple shows in Kokomo, but I didn't really branch out.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until probably after 2010, I got commissioned to do a large mural in Kokomo because I was able to problem solve some of their problems that they had. Like
mm-hmm.
they had a very large wall and they didn't know how they were going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the kids be a part of that. So that was kind of like the kids doing a large project for the city council.
For the community, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was pretty big, 210 feet by 30 feet tall.
That's pretty big,
So that was pretty, you know, that was pretty spectacular and wonderful to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started doing shows.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I did shows in Kokomo. I really enjoyed doing shows in Indianapolis because that was a community that they were always doing something.
Yeah.
It was a social networking thing as well as it was something that I wanted to participate in. You know, I participated in like the flavor shows.
Mm-hmm.
some 30-40 shows. I've done some shows in Noblesville. I've done some shows in Irvington. And then eventually, you know, after meeting some people, I came in contact with Amy Ward. I did some shows for her at Fountain Square, and she's a type of individual. Not only is she an artist, but she's also a curator.
Okay.
And so I did some shows with her and for her, and then a group of us did a show in Chicago at the Zalby Art Center in Chicago. And that was pretty amazing.
That would be very amazing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was like, wow, Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
That would be art gallery. You're kidding me, right?
Well, I think it makes such a difference when your kids get a little older and you can find more time to carve out your own art career. But I think it has to be very challenging to do that while you're still teaching. So I applaud you for being able to balance all that. Some of the people that I've talked to in the podcast are art teachers formerly trained like you. How has COVID-19 impacted you? And
it's funny that you mention it. I was supposed to have another art show at Chicago's Zalby Center, but of course it's been canceled. Illinois and Chicago in particular have more strict guidelines than even we do here in Indiana. It's a postponement. Yeah. So we're, you know, I'm still pretty excited about it. It's going to happen. Sure. It's just when all the craziness dies down. I honestly haven't even tried to enter into any shows, even the online shows that I see, because I just don't want to deal with it.
Yeah. I've entered a couple virtual ones, and I'm happy with that because I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to leave my house, and, you know, and I have pre-existing health conditions that make it so I can't go out. So I do like them, but I know it's not the same, because the in-person experience where people get to talk to you about your art and ask you questions and hopefully potentially buy some of your work, it's very different than watching, you know, even a live virtual reception, as it were. It is different. And as a personal artist, I mean, have you felt that COVID-19 has impacted your own actual artwork?
Yes. I really thought when we had the quarantine, there was a, you know, I had to switch to online learning, which was precarious. And for me, it didn't go over too well. But that's because Kokomo has a situation where we have a large population of what we would consider at-risk or Title I kids.
Yeah.
And so a lot of our kids don't have internet.
Right.
That and makes it's one it so of the reasons hard. Why we could never do like e-learning days and things of that nature. We're working on it. It's getting better.
Yeah.
But we're doing the best with what we have to work with. I thought that I would be doing a ton of artwork during COVID.
Artists in residence, right? Yeah. In our own homes. Yeah.
No, not at all. It was like my creativity just dried up like you wouldn't believe. Yeah. But I knew that it was because things were shifting and changing.
Yeah.
And my artwork got really, really active after my mom passed away in 2015. You know, I had just experienced, you know, I was extremely close to her.
Yeah.
I was never close to my father, but I was close to my mother. So her passing away was a big deal.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of other things going on in my life. And so essentially for me, I felt like my world had literally turned upside down.
Yeah.
And it was just really difficult. And I know you understand that.
I do.
Anybody who's lost a parent that they were close with, it's like we have some sort of unfortunate mutual bond that we get.
Yeah, we were members of a very sad club. I lost my mom in 2017, and between 2014, when my father died, to when she passed away, I was the only of their children. I'm the one that's here, and I was very close to my mom, and I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's still to this day. I mean, the only thing I can say about COVID-19 is that I'm actually really glad my parents aren't here to experience this. You know, but other than that, I miss her every day, and I miss my dad, and I think about them. And I went through kind of a similar thing with you, where I had like it was totally therapeutic to create and paint my anger and my sadness and my, you know, I have a painting I called Rage because I was just so mad that my mother had died, you know, even though, you know, I knew she was going to at some point, but I wasn't ready for it. I didn't want it to happen. And, you know, so
yeah. Exactly. I mean,
even if you're prepared, you're not prepared, right?
and I only think people who have had that experience get that. My mom had she deteriorated over a long period of time. So,
and that's so hard to watch. I'm so sorry you had to go through that.
Well, I'm sorry, you know, I
feel for you with that, because as the daughter, you know, that you are and that I was for my mom, I know how hard that is. You can't save them, and it's so hard, and it's so hard to experience that. And I'm so sorry you had to go through that with your mom. I think that's one of the hardest things that any of us can do. So if some good came out of that with your artwork, and you were able to create some beauty from those experiences, and I know you have, because like I said, everything you create is beautiful. So I know that you've made some beauty out of those situations that are hard. That's about the only positive thing I ever think that, you know, well, I painted something in memory of my mother and I like it. It's pretty, you know, but it doesn't quite, you know, it doesn't quite take the place of a person, but I keep her alive that way. Right.
It doesn't, but, and it is hard. And, you know, the same to you, you understand exactly what it's like, but I found like refuge in art.
Mm-hmm.
It was my stability when I felt like there was chaos in the world, which is ironic because, you know, now we're living in 2020 and it's like
chaos every day. Yeah. Well, we wake up, it seems like we wake up every day, if we even can sleep at night. It seems like sometimes you wake up and it's just even more chaos, or it's even, you know, the number of people infected or you know, dead from COVID-19 is just, the numbers are just skyrocketing in our country. And it's so sad to think of their families. And I keep thinking of, you know, art and loss. I've been talking about art therapy, but, you know, in times of, like, I don't know how to say, but like a global loss in the world of so many people, and so many souls and lives, and, you know, trying to be creative and artsy when all that's happening right outside your windows and everything, it's very hard. I don't think you're the only one who went through a period with COVID-19 of not being real creative. I've heard that from a lot of the artists, whether they're musicians, visual artists, you know, whatever kind of artists they are. You know, when I interview them for the podcast, a lot of them say, you know, I thought I would be a lot more creative, but I kind of, you know, I don't have a lot of motivation, you know, so.
Well, for some of us, you know, when the world is humming somewhat normally, it's easier for us to be creative.
Yeah.
And like this happens, I know, even though I don't like it that I work this way, I do cocoon sometimes.
Yeah.
Where I'll go like maybe a couple weeks, a couple months, where I just won't do anything. And it's like I'm incubating whatever is coming up, whatever that is. And I think that, you know, the quarantine and COVID was that for me. Now if Kokomo is not doing what most schools are doing, we are in school face-to-face.
Wow.
We do have a virtual option, but art is not one of those classes you can take. It's interesting having my children home e-learning, but I'm going to work. And it's a mixed bag, because I missed my kids.
Yeah.
I missed them something terrible.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy to see them, even though they're sitting in their chairs and they're a social distance as far away as I can possibly make them, which is not very far.
Sure.
My classroom isn't very small, or it's not very big. And there are some classes I have 25 kids in one room. I can't even get them 3 feet apart. And so we're all masked up and we're all trying to social distance from each other at the same time, teach and do art. And it's hard. The kids have been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, as I tell you right now, I mean, in Kokomo, you're always going to have behavior problems here and there. But, you know, the kids always have reasons why they are doing what they're doing. It's,
sure.
It's not random.
It's not,
but,
often
year,
not their fault what situations they're in. Yeah.
Well, a lot of them don't have it easy. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably the kindest thing I can say, and the fact that they're actually showing up to school and are there says so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then for people to give them an even harder time that they're not doing this, not doing that, sometimes I just get upset, like, well, they're here, and you have no idea how hard that was for them just to do that. So,
yeah.
But it's it's wonderful seeing them, even though they're slightly depressed with their mask on, like, ah. Yeah.
Well, and it's a long day for all of you. I mean, that's a long day for you guys. So, I have to say, I pray that you will stay safe, and so are those children and your own children and everybody. You know, let's try to end on a little more positive note, and I'll say, what's on the artistic on the artistic horizon for you?
Things are positive at work. I mean, the kids and I are absolutely enjoying being with each other, even though we have these, like, mm-hmm. stipulations. And we try to make light of it. We've had some kids that have had to quarantine. Nobody's been super sick, so we've been blessed. And we call it cootie timeout.
Yeah, cootie timeout. That's a great. Trying to have fun and you know, have humor in the situation.
We all know how serious it is.
You've got to be making a huge difference in their lives, and I think that is a wonderful, wonderful thing that you can do that for them.
Oh, definitely. And right now, it's using the outside world as a reflection of my inner landscapes. And I am always looking outside and seeing, well, where does that hit me?
Right.
What do I think about that? How do I feel about that? And I am a very deeply spiritual person, and a lot of my artwork is very symbolic. There's nothing random ever in my work. Mm-hmm. And I use nature as kind of a great teacher. And so, like, a lot of a huge chunk of my work has, like, animals, and mm-hmm. I love bugs. I know that sounds weird.
No, I know a lot of people that love bugs. I'm not one of them, but I know some. Yeah.
Well, my best friend, her family and her beekeepers, and I help them with farmers markets on Saturdays. Yeah. And so I'm used to being around bees and in hives and things of that nature. And once you get comfortable with bugs, you properly get scared of the ones you should be.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
When the other ones don't freak you out as much. Except for a cricket that scared me last night, because I just wasn't expecting him, and he kind of spooked me. But besides that, I mean, I feel bad for him. He deserved that. But I use animals a lot of times and their symbolism. And as I'm working on my work, it's like I'm processing whatever that is that I'm trying to resolve, come to terms with. Perfect example. A big piece that was in the Kokomo Artist Gallery downtown. It sold. It's gone now. But it's a butterfly hanging on what looks like a cocoon. But if you look at the cocoon, it's in the shape of a heart. Ooh. And it's called Cocoon Heart. Mm-hmm. And it's a very important piece about, partially about mom, but more than that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about monarchs and butterflies in general have always symbolized new life, mm-hmm. new beginnings, and lifting up. You know, you spend this time as a worm or caterpillar, you know, crawling around, and then all of a sudden you're in flight. Mm-hmm. And the cocoon heart is about learning and trusting to love again after having your heart get broken.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a piece about mom, about, you know, new significant relationships in my life. So it was a very important piece. But as I was working on that, it was a meditation about where was I, what was I going through. And I've been very honored that a girlfriend of mine uses it as kind of the symbol of her company. And it's appropriate. She lost her daughter. She was born with some significant disabilities. I think she passed away, like, maybe when she was like 8 or 9.
Mm.
And they built a retreat for parents with disability, or parents that have children with disabilities, for them to go and to camp and to, you know, retreat. And it's called Sweet Cocoon.
Oh, how perfect then for your painting. Yeah.
Yes. And I mean, she had that going on well before my piece even was on the horizon. And my piece was my piece.
Yeah.
And
but they found each other, you know, they found each other. And that's what art does. It makes connections that, you know, we might not find otherwise between yes. people, between places, between businesses, whatever. It's the connections that art makes that keeps us alive and going and motivated and inspired. And that's a perfect story for that. It really is. You were right. That is a perfect story.
So, it is. And the majority of my pieces are meditations on things that I'm trying to resolve mm-hmm. and grow within me. Yeah. And yeah, of course, there's always some of those pieces where I'm just like, well, I'm just practicing.
Yeah. Well, and the wonderful thing about creating artwork in that kind of a process is that whether you know it or not, people who see your artwork are going to experience it through what they're processing, what it means to them in their lives and what they're dealing with. And that, again, that connection between artist and audience, artist and the public, artist and other people, it's not just about the colors and the technique and the layout, if you will, of a piece. It's about what's in it and what comes out of it to other people. What you put in comes out to other people. And to me, that's like the definition of the job of the artist, whether it's music or visual arts or whatever kind of art, a writer, anything. It's what you put into it, other people are going to get something out of it. And it sounds like, and from what I've seen of your work, obviously I haven't seen it in person, I've only seen it virtually, but from what I've seen of it, I feel like it's very powerful that way. And so I really thank you so much for coming on the podcast and talking to me about, you know, your arts journey and everything, because I feel like a lot of our listeners will be very inspired by it and relate to it in so many ways. Every artist I talk to, you know, that's one more connection that I have with you guys. And then when we put it out to the public, you know, we get more connections and the art just keeps on going. And that's what's important. So my long-winded way of saying thank you for coming on the podcast. I really enjoy talking with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, and you're right about that whole process. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I love having critiques with my students, and when teaching international students, sometimes you get the international interpretations of things, and
you learn from your students, you know, they learn from you, you learn from them. It just, art is just such a great thing. We have to keep going with the arts. That's that's our golden rule, right? Well, listen, absolutely. I thank you so much again. I just really appreciate it. And please stay safe in the school.
You too.
Do everything you can to stay safe. And I wish you all the best. And thank you again for coming on the roundtable.
Well, thank you for having me.
My pleasure.